Hello, this is Tom Campbell, host of a series of interviews with local band members and music industry professionals from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Today's interview is with Billy Franzi and Mike Mankey from the Olivers and Triad. Hello, this is Tom Campbell. Today is May 31st, 2015, and I'm talking with two members from Triad and the Olivers, Billy Franzi and Mike Mankey. Let's start out with our normal questions, and that is, can you please tell me your full name, date of birth, and hometown, please, Billy?
My full name is Billy Herman Franzi, and I was born in Bluffton, Indiana.
Date of birth?
9/14/48.
Mike?
Michael Lynn Mankey. I was born in Fort Wayne in 1948.
And when did you two first take an interest in music, and what year would that have been?
I moved to Fort Wayne in 1960, the summer of 1960, before school started. And I think right after that, I was over on the north side of Fort Wayne and down on Wells Street, and I think I'm ran into you down on Wall Street. There used to be a band called the Wall Street Blues Band.
Yeah.
And I think that's who I was hunting for when I found you over there. Or you found me, or I was probably wandering around wondering where I was.
Mike, does that sound familiar?
Sounds familiar, yeah. It's been so long, it's hard to remember exactly, but it was something like that.
I don't remember how we met, but I just remember we met and stuck.
Didn't you mention something to me about meeting on a porch?
Oh, Bruce Feimster's porch. Remember Bruce Feimster?
I do.
Remember, I think we were talking there on Feimster's porch after the initial time we met.
Was that
about getting together musically.
Yeah. That might have been it.
Yep.
So you two decide to start a band, correct?
Yeah,
we did.
All right. And who's in the band and who plays what?
The drummer was Bob Goodwin, blonde kid. Very funny guy. And the bass player was a dark-haired fellow named Jerry Vachon, who had a brother who played in another band that was one of our favorite bands in town. Jerry was the younger than his brother.
Nick.
Yeah. And he was the bass player. He's the one with the magnetone amp. He had a magnetone amp. It was great. I still can see it. And I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
And that leaves you and Mike. What did you two play?
Guitars.
Mike was a much better guitar player than I was because I hadn't been playing any guitar. He was trying to teach me.
Mike, do you recall your very first guitar?
Yeah, I believe it was a Kent Electric. I think it was. I bought it at like B&B Loans or somewhere.
Do you remember what it cost?
$35.
And how about an amp?
That would have probably been a Silvertone that I probably got at Sears or bought someplace used.
Billy, how about you? Your very first guitar.
My first guitar I bought from Mike. It was a flat top, a Stella flat top, and it had big old fat strings on it. And he was off into the electric already, and I didn't have one. So I think I paid you $10 for it or something.
Yeah, something like that.
$10, and I took it straight to work. I worked in a pizza shop, and I put it under the pizza oven, and I'd play it when I didn't have any customers.
So that's how you got to be such a hot guitarist. Huh?
Oh, no, I had burns, man, oh, wow.
Now, is that an acoustic guitar?
It was an acoustic guitar, yeah. And then eventually, did I get an electric, or was I playing harmonica?
I think by the time we played at the school, we both had guitars.
We
might have ended up borrowing one or something, but
electrics. Might have borrowed one.
Yeah.
Now, did this band have a name?
The Shadows.
Yeah.
Who came up with the name?
I did. Got to make sure. Yeah.
And who did the vocals for the band?
Billy and me. And yeah. Did Jerry sing? I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
Mainly Billy and I.
Yeah, usually the two of us.
And what kind of music did the Shadows do?
A little bit of rhythm and blues, a little bit of the English rock.
Some of the new English stuff that was coming out. Yeah. Beatles and The Who.
The Who,
we used to do a lot of Who stuff.
I forgot about that.
This is 1960, so the British invasion had not yet occurred.
Yeah,
so.
I remember us doing the Kingsman, Louie, a lot.
Yeah.
And what were some of the songs? We copied a lot of the songs that the Surfmen played.
Mm-hmm.
We even did their records.
We covered the Surfmen because they are our idols.
Yeah.
That was a local band?
Yeah, the Surfmen.
And they did a lot of Hully Gully style, you know. Music.
What's which the Hully Gully style?
Oh, it'd be like, you know, doom, doo, 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 boo, boo, boom, doo, doo, boo, boo, Hully, Hully Gully, that kind of thing, you know. That was pretty much the rhythm of every song.
You don't remember that song, Tom?
Where did the Shadows practice?
In my bedroom, in our house that was right across the street from Bloomingdale School.
The whole band fit in your bedroom?
Yeah. Yeah, it was tight.
Mm-hmm. We got in there.
Yeah.
A drum set too?
Yeah.
Wow.
And a keyboard. But we didn't really have a keyboard player then, did we?
No.
You had a keyboard but no keyboard player.
Yeah, I had worked a part-time job and I went out and bought all kinds of musical stuff.
I remember playing keyboards on a gig. I can't remember. Maybe our keyboard player was sick or something, but it was a kid from North Side High School.
Tim?
Yeah.
Tim Wire? Yeah.
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 All right, let's talk about your very first job, which I understand was in the middle of 1963. And where was your very first public job?
At the Bloomingdale School, right across the street from my house.
That was at the gymnasium?
Yeah. Yeah. And Rec Center.
Rec Center? And how did that go?
Seemed like we were stars right off the bat.
How did you get the job?
I think I just went over there and talked to people.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. I just went over there and said, hey, we have a band and we'd love to play. I don't even remember if we got paid for it. But I think we did. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Do you remember, Billy, how much you got paid?
I do remember. $6.
So it was like 25,
for the whole band.
25 bucks for the whole
and
band.
And as soon as the gig was over, we went straight up to Wells Street to the drugstore.
Yeah, Kelch's.
And I got myself a malt, and I couldn't believe people were going to give me money for something I do for free. It was that much fun.
Yep.
We had a good time.
Yep, we did.
So how did the band go over with the kids?
They liked us. Yeah.
Yeah, they
well,
did.
We did go back there eventually, but for the first night, they really liked us.
And danced.
Yeah.
You know, and usually kids back in those days, you know, you'd have a sock hop dance and you'd start playing and nobody would dance. The guys wouldn't ask the girls and the girls would end up dancing with each other later.
Yeah.
But they were out. The dance floor was hopping around pretty good. They liked our beat, I think.
Yeah.
Mike, I understand the Surfmen came about in the fall of 1963. What was the history of the Surfmen?
Well, Chuck Hamrick and Jay Pendorf got together from other bands to try to do more progressive rock and roll. Carl Aldrich joined them a little bit later. Greg Church was on the bass. They hadn't been together really long when they made A Man Can't Live Without Love. Their first single recorded locally was A Man Can't Live Without Love and Cry, which they did at WGL radio station with the help of Al Russell and the backing of Chuck's mom, Mary Jane Hamrick. She kind of was the driving force. Her and Chuck were the driving force behind the band.
And Al Russell was a DJ at
DJ
the station.
At WGL, yeah.
Okay. So that record was a regional hit for the band?
Yep.
Okay, and then they did a second 45 after that?
Yes, they did. Chills and Fever and I Want You Back was on that one. Chills and Fever was a cover, a Ronnie Love song, and I Want You Back Again was an original by Carl and Jay.
Was that song also a popular song?
Yeah, both of the 45s did real well.
Which of those songs did the Shadows perform live?
Did we do A Man Can't Live Without Love?
I think we did.
Yeah, we did Cry for sure.
We did it kind of Beatles style, two voices like they did.
Yeah.
So you did both songs off their first 45.
Yep.
Did you do any of their second 45 songs or not?
Did we do Chills and Fever?
I think we might have, but it's been
so long. We like to copy those guys.
Yeah, because they had a really nice, solid rock style and more than most of the bands around there at that time.
Did you go out and see them play live often?
Oh, yeah.
A lot, yeah. We tried to see them every time they in town when they played. And they traveled, too. They go. Those guys used to go up to, like, Indiana Beach and Clearwater. Coldwater. What was the name of the city up there?
I can't remember.
You said you saw them in every parking lot they played in.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean they played outside a lot? Or
they did. They play outdoors in parking lots. They used to play a place called the Hayloft.
Mm-hmm.
It was an old barn out in the country. It was great, man. I used to love that place.
Yeah.
And where else did they used to play? Trying to remember. There was an indoor place, and it was near a golf course, and they had a separate building off to the side. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No.
All the windows.
Sorry.
Too many. I can't.
Now, I understand in 1964, the Shadows decided to have a name change. What did you change the name to?
The Unexpected.
Why did you decide to change the name?
Because there were so many other bands already with the name The Shadows all over the world. We wanted to be something more different, unique, but even the unexpected wasn't that unexpected.
Now, another band that changed their name in 1965 was The Surfmen, and I understand they became The Olivers, and they also changed their onstage clothing and their appearance. Billy, do you recall that?
Yes. They changed the appearance. It was more like the Paul Revere and the Raiders look. It had lace and Paul Revere suit, everything but the Paul Revere hat back in those days.
Did they grow their hair out as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, long hair was coming in. I got in a lot of trouble in school for my hair. Everybody was growing their hair.
Yeah.
You know, 63, the Beatles thing came out, they had it just over the tip of their ear like that, and everybody went,
oh, my God.
And my mother was a hairdresser. I already had hair down to my neck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in a lot of trouble.
Okay, so I understand in late 65, the Surfmen made a trip to see the Unexpected play at Hamilton Park. Do you recall that night?
Mm-hmm.
Hamilton Park.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you recall?
We're playing, and then these guys all walk up, and I said, I kind of nudged him, Billy, and said, that's a Surfman, isn't it? You know, and yeah. We really didn't know, or did you know?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Were they the Surfman or the Olivers at that point?
That was right about the time it changed.
Okay.
But we knew them mainly as a Surfman at that point.
Okay.
They wanted to hear us cover their song.
Their song. And they might have been looking already for...
Yeah,
because
maybe.
Not long after that, Greg, the bass player, Greg Church, he quit the band.
Yeah, he didn't want to travel as much as they were beginning to travel.
Was this the very first time the Surfmen had come to see your band play?
I think so.
Yeah, we went to see them all the time, but they came to see us.
We'd see them, they wouldn't see us.
So they had heard that you guys were covering their songs?
Mm-hmm. And that we were doing a pretty darn good job of it, too.
Did they talk to you after the show?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. They talked to you later. But...
Yeah, that was at Guy Zimmerman's music store.
Yep.
So, Billy, I understand there was a change in the lineup of the Surfmen, and they lost one of their members and began looking for a new bass player. What's the story on that?
They did. They were looking for one, and I found out about it. Every day I'd walk home from high school, I'd pass by a music store called Guy Zimmerman's Music, and I'd stop in and play every instrument in the place and drive him nuts. You know, so I was in there one day.
Here comes Eddie Haskell.
Yeah.
I was in there one day, and I think it was Chuck and Carl, walked into the store. I heard them talking to Guy Zimmerman. They said they needed a bass player. So I said, you know, I'll play bass for you, you know. And they said, do you play bass? Oh, sure. I never played bass in my life. So
did they know who you were?
Yeah, they knew who I was, you know. And I said, I'll do it, you know. And so they, you know, they said, sure, okay. So I didn't have a bass and I didn't have an amp. So Guy Zimmerman, bless his heart, told me to pick out any bass that I wanted and I could have it and make payments because he knew those guys worked a lot. They bought gear from him all the time. So I literally got a loan when I was about, what, 15? Mm-hmm. No sign, no papers, no nothing. Just here's the bass, make some payments on it. The guy, he just handed me a bass. It was great. So I took it home and I played until I bled. And I think about 3 weeks later, we had a rehearsal. I pretty much knew all the Greg's. I had Greg's parts memorized in my head anyway from seeing the band play so many times. I knew, I could remember, you know, the how it felt. And I went home and played those things until I died.
What kind of bass guitar did you pick out?
It was an EBOF. It was a Gibson Red Devil with the little horns. It looks like, looks just like that. SG. Gil. Yeah. Or it looks like an SG, like mm-hmm. this one, mm-hmm. like this guy. Looks like an SG guitar, only it was a bass, and it had a little switch on it. It was an EBO bass, but it was an F, EBOF. It had a little switch with a battery, and it made a fuzz tone sound, like a guitar. I loved it.
Yeah. What did you get for an amp?
I begged my older brother, Jimmy, and he loaned me the money. And I bought, was it a Super Beetle? No.
No.
It was a Westminster.
Yeah.
It was a 100-watt head, like a Super Beetle head, with an 18-inch, one 18-inch speaker. It's called a Westminster. Wow.
Now, so now you are a member of the Olivers.
So now I'm in the other band.
Yeah, Olivers.
I am.
And you had to wear the...
We went to Chicago and bought the thigh-high boots, and, you know, and I had to have a brown thing made. And
a vest?
Oh, yeah, the vest and the little lace stuff around the neck.
The dicky thing around the neck.
And at your wrist, too. Remember we had the...
Oh, yeah.
The frilly things around the...
Oh, man, we were like... Wrist. Yeah, we were feudaled out.
The Midwest feudal answer to
it was feudal. To it was Paul the Revere. Feudal, the feudal look.
We were feudaled out, Paul Revere and the Raiders. We were Englished to the max. It's surprising that we weren't trying to fake an English accent.
Yeah,
time, you know.